Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine, and we're talking about grilling. And my question to you, Tony, is what is the best grilled food you've ever had in a restaurant?
That's a very, very easy question. Good. There is a restaurant I've been lucky enough to go to a couple of times in Spain.
Have I been there?
In Basque Country. Yes, you have.
Yes.
I went there the first time, and I told you immediately, like, this is the craziest thing.
Have to go.
So there's a restaurant that you cannot spell the name of, and is difficult to pronounce because it's a Basque word, Echavarri. Mm-hmm. Echavarri is in the mountains in the foothills of the mountains, maybe 45 minutes, an hour out of San Sebastian. Mm-hmm. And the gentleman who's the chef there left his job as a scientist and he decided that grilling food is what he wanted to do. And he grills everything. He grills caviar. Mm-hmm. He grills oysters.
Butter.
He grills butter.
Well, that was a little.
He grills raw mushrooms. You did not like the grilled butter.
I did not like the grilled butter.
You're completely
freaked
out.
That was a little odd.
He grills everything.
It tasted
over...
like a cigarette.
Some people like butter and cigarettes, maybe. I don't, but I understand.
His food is absolutely amazing.
Because of his science
brilliant.
Background, he has crafted all these different ways to grill things you wouldn't normally think of, or little funny like custom lobster holders. So he grills whole live lobsters in these particular baskets. And, you know, you see the funny little implements you see at the you know, hardware store or home center or whatever for grilling things. Not only that, this guy has very specific things. He has cans or little tins to hold caviar in so we can grill caviar. Mm-hmm. I mean, little tiny individual shrimp, little clam. He has three different ones for different kinds of clams. Mm-hmm. But everything from all these different seafood products. The sea cucumber at this place, unbelievable. And the big gambas and chigala, all kinds of things.
What is that?
Chigala is it's a shellfish, mm-hmm. maybe a pretty strong kind of prawn almost.
Okay. I don't think we had that when I was there. The clams.
They only have them once in a while. The clams are amazing.
And the turbo.
Turbo, yeah, the whole turbo in its own
grilled.
In its own little basket. All over wood, you know,
brilliant.
Over wood fire. And he's got four different wood fires going of different sizes with different woods to do different things. It's because, I mean, it's Basque Country. It's all forest, but it's less than an hour away from the sea and a lot of the best fishing in the world, you know, from the Bay of Biscay. So, and then he also does beef and the chuleta or chuleton. Chuleton's the sort of giant chops. It's always a giant ribeye of sorts that... they do, and it's the beef from Galicia, you know, the Gallego breed that is a little bit like the Tuscan beef that you see that's pretty heavily muscled, and they age it for a long time. It has great flavor and very lean. And anyway, yeah, we have 18 courses or something of different grilled things
experience.
In that restaurant.
Yes.
And probably 18 bottles of Muga Rioja. We're there with one Muga.
Muga.
And Jorge Ordóñez.
Very good.
But yeah, that's definitely the... I don't think that you can do a better grilling experience than that.
What are the grapes in that region?
In Rioja, Tempranillo is the most important one. Mm-hmm. There are three others that go into the blend, but Mazuelo and Garnacha. But Tempranillo is that's the pride of it, just like Ribera del Duero.
Any white wines in that region or not
notable?
Yeah,
you see whites along the coast. Okay. And Chacoli is the...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and they're from two different towns that they're important Chacoli, but light, 11% alcohol, very like apple-y, lightly spritzy, very fresh breakfast wine.
Yes, exactly.
Breakfast wine. It may sound strange, but yeah, breakfast wine there along the coast with like preserved fish and little toast and red onions out of the garden, and which it's a pretty hearty breakfast.
Good way to start the day.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, so we're on the Basque Coast. Let's talk about grilling seafood. Mm-hmm. What are your favorite grilled seafood things to eat? What do you like to make at home?
I love calamari on the grill. I think that's just so amazing. What a great way to eat calamari. And I don't know that a lot of people think of that.
Well, the trick with calamari is actually getting fresh calamari, right?
Right.
Because 99% of the calamari you get out is frozen somehow.
You just want to make sure it's fresh and you know, cleaning it. If you're cleaning it yourself, that's a little bit of a process and maybe something you might want to look up. I can't really describe that on the radio, but you know, I think that octopus, calamari, and of course there are all, you know, so many different types of shrimp you could throw
cuttlefish,
on.
Cuttlefish, yeah. Mm-hmm, that's, mm-hmm. Cephalopods are definitely one of my favorite things to cook at home, to cook in the restaurants and whether it's on a grill or on the plancha. Mm-hmm. There's a restaurant in Barcelona, Suque de Amaral. is the first place I had calamari cooked on a hot grill. It was just marinated very lightly and oil and lemon.
Mm-hmm.
And he was grilling fat slices of green apple at the same time.
Ugh.
And the calamari. And calamari, you know, fresh like that, grilling the whole tubes and tentacles. The tentacles get a little bit crispy, and the tubes just get a little bit caramelized, and you just kind of roll them around mm-hmm. and hopefully don't drop them through the grates. And the apple will just mark on both sides. And he just chopped them both together as like a salad with good oil. And
that
a drop
great.
Of wine vinegar, and oh my goodness, that was yeah. crazy good. The thing is, all the juice that's on the cutting board from the apple and from the calamari, that is the sauce. That's
right.
That's sort of the whole ballgame, is you bring all of that out by cooking it just a little bit.
Good
you're
point.
Just getting it warm, you're just caramelizing the outside a little bit. If you cook it hard, like you're like, now is it done? I'm scared it's not done. As soon as you start thinking that, you've already overcooked it.
Absolutely.
And it has no flavor, and it'll be like chewing shoelaces.
Right. It's a quick process, which is another advantage with making something like that, that you can make dinner so quickly with something like calamari or cuttlefish or, you know, any of those.
That's the kind of thing. If you want to serve, say, tapas at home, and you're going to do a meal and it's all on your grill, and everyone has a glass of wine, if you have a cutting board handy, you literally can make that same dish in a matter of 2 minutes
mm-hmm.
for 10 people. All you need are spoons. You know, you do the dish in a bowl,
yes.
and you scoop out a spoon and pass them like hors d'oeuvres, and everyone gets a bite of that with a glass of wine. It's a perfect little thing.
That's great.
To get them started. I think if I have a biggest passion in seafood, it's probably grilling whole fish.
Yeah.
And I know that you love steaky fish off the grill.
Mm-hmm.
Any
tuna,
favorites?
Swordfish. You know, anything like that. And those are such quick cooking fish because you're probably going to eat them medium rare. I would. And, you know, I love.
Is it okay to eat fish like, say, a piece of salmon or a piece of tuna? Why would you eat it medium rare instead of cooking it through?
It's a different texture. And, you know, I think you just taste the fish more, quite frankly. I love raw fish, so, you know, I'm happy to eat salmon tartare, tuna tartare, and I almost prefer sometimes with fish like that, I think I prefer them raw to cooked. So if I am going to grill a piece of salmon, I'm definitely grilling it rare.
When you're looking for salmon fillets, tuna fillets for grilling, is there a particular, you'll see sometimes in stores you'll see tuna steaks or you know, salmon steaks, things like that. Would you rather have a fillet or a steak, and how do you tell quality on those things?
Well, if you have a whole piece of fish to look at, you're looking for clear eyes, red gills, and a firm texture, and obviously smell. You know, you want it to smell good.
So you actually asked the guy at the fish counter, can I smell that fish?
Mm-hmm. Sure, why not? Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
I think people are so shy sometimes. I remember my great-grandmother going to Lexington Market when I was a little kid and taking me along with, and she was just the devil to people to make sure she got exactly what she wanted the way that
Absolutely.
She wanted it for her family. It's a... to cook it.
There's
so.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, no question.
Scallops are great on the grill, too. And such another quick cook. And
Seemed like a tricky thing to cook. You're talking about sea scallops.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yes. Yeah, definitely. You need the larger scallop out of the shell. And but if you have your grates are pretty close together, you shouldn't have any problem grilling a scallop, a large scallop. And those, I always cook those to medium rare. So that's, you know, you're talking about 2 or 3 minutes on the grill. And you would mark them on both sides and, you know, a little bit of oil and salt. And by that time, you're done and take them off the grill.
One of the tricks with any of those kinds of seafood is because they're quick cook. Let's say it's a tuna fillet that's a nice size. It's almost cut like a filet mignon. You're still only cooking in a minute or two on each side tops to get it marked and mm-hmm. get it to rare and medium rare. When you take those fillets off, you have to have everything on the plate ready to go.
Right.
So what do you like on, let's say someone's cooking tuna at home on the grill. You know, 3 minutes have gone by, and the 3 minutes is cooking on the grill. They've got 3 minutes to get things on the plate. What belongs on that plate?
Well, especially in the summertime, I would probably have an Erica Vera salad ready to go, or green bean salad, you know, something crunchy and bright and fresh with a little olive oil. And I would hit that with lemon juice at the last moment. And I love olives with tuna. So, you know, Picholine olives, Niçoise olives, Niol olives, any olive with a lot of good flavor and high quality olive. Just, you know, you could crush them, you could chop them and make a relish. And
almost like a quick tapenade or something
mm-hmm.
with Niçoise olives
mm-hmm.
for tuna. So what would you put in that tapenade? Because that's a great classic
capers,
accompaniment.
capers, the chopped olive, olive oil, or you could even use corn oil. It's a little bit gilding the lily using olive oil with olives. And although some olives packed in oil, like the tagliatelle, those olives, that oil is so brilliant. I always use the oil that they're packed in to make my relish. And I said capers and a little bit of garlic or shallot, something like that.
And the tagliatelle, that's almost like a trick, the tagliatelle olive oil. I use a little bit of that and a little bit of lemon peel and rub them in a mortar and pestle together with a little bit of crunchy salt and then use that to brush the fish while it's cooking on the grill.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And serve that with, if you boil new potatoes and cut a couple of fat slices, you can smoke them lightly on the grill when, with the skin still on them while you're, just to get them warm.
Yes.
While the fish is grilling, and then serve it with an olive relish like you're talking about with the tagliatelles.
Yeah, you definitely want to have your mise en place and all your accompaniment ready to go before you grill a quick food like that.
A tuna is your best excuse for red wine with fish, too, for sure.
There you go.
Because of the texture, because of the flavors and that. And look there, Cindy, you get to drink from the Rhone Valley again.
Excellent.
Nice Côte de Rhone Village or a Châteauneuf du Pape or a Lirac or one of the Grenache-based wines, not a Syrah-based wine.
All right.
So how about a rockfish? Maryland is rockfish country.
Oh, it's a great fish.
So, do you like that hole on the grill?
Absolutely. That would be fantastic. I would definitely put some fresh thyme and in the belly and a little bit of sea salt in that belly and, score the outside of the fish so that it cooks correctly. And, obviously you have to scale it if it's a whole fish. Scale it, score it, season it, oil it, grill it, put the top down, let it smoke a little bit. Good.
So let's back up a second and go through. Okay, you're at the store and you're asking for a whole fish and you see a nice rockfish.
Mm-hmm.
It's what, maybe 2-3 pounds, right?
Yes.
And that'll feed from the...
probably four people.
Maybe if it's 3 pounds, probably four people, yeah? For the whole fish.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you're doing dinner for four. So you would ask them at the... You see the bright eye and you smell the fish and it smells nice and clean and just a little bit like sea salt.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to ask them to scale it.
I would definitely ask them to scaling it. Scaling a fish at home is a big mess.
It's a mess, and there's scales flying all over your kitchen.
Exactly, yeah. You won't
then
like,
your cat gets
you won't
one
like
of the scales and runs all over the house with it like it's,
Yes.
Like a special treat. So you scale the scaled fish there. They've gutted the fish already, right? So then you get home, you unwrap the fish, and you said, so the belly, the bit of cavity that's there, so you season it inside the cavity?
Mm-hmm. Sea salt. I'd put some whole pieces of thyme in there.
Maybe a couple of lemon slices or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
A little bit of fresh shallot or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the outside of the fish.
You just want to take a sharp pointed knife and score very. Don't go too far into the fish, but score that skin so that it cooks correctly on the grill.
It's literally like just making sort of cross hatch, marks on the skin of the fish so that it releases a little bit of the fat from the skin and the heat. Transmits evenly all along the surface of the fish.
Exactly.
And so then you oil your grill grates down.
Mm-hmm.
And then how high for the grill temperature?
Again, I would be careful with the heat, so I'd probably keep it at a medium heat.
And one of the great things in with restaurant grills is that the commercial ones, you can tilt them at an angle so you can control that distance from the flame and you can cook things slowly. At home, that's tough. So
my grill at home does not do that. That's one of the things I don't like about my grill. I wish it did do that.
So you have to really be careful that you don't have that too hot to start or you burn that skin and all you're going to do is smell like kerosene-y burnt fish skin and you just spent this money on a beautiful piece of fish that you just destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking low medium for the heat?
Yeah.
And then cooking it to a rock is a fish that you want probably medium well.
Yes.
So it's still juicy.
You want it to be moist, but yeah,
But cooked mostly
through. You want it relatively
through.
Cooked through. Well, and also you're going to have to pull that fillet off of the fish, so you're going to end up deboning it for your guests, so you
and it's
want
gonna,
it to be cooked almost
and it's
going to
carry
way.
Over cooking a little bit when you take it off the grill. So it's probably, if you take it off medium to medium well,
you're going to be fine.
You're probably going to be fine. It's going to land on the medium well ranges where you usually want that kind of fish.
Mm-hmm.
And so how long do you think on a side for 3 pound, maybe?
5-6 minutes.
Yeah, probably.
Something like that. That's not the easiest thing to do to cook a piece of whole fish. This is a little skill involved in this, but it's a great thing to do, and it's a great way to eat the fish.
It's going to sound
it's going to be moist and gorgeous.
It is one of the special treats. I think one of the an investment in your own education is probably get two fish the first time that you do it.
Yeah, really.
Because
practice.
The worst thing that happens is you nail it the first time, and you can make another one tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely. Good.
But if you don't nail it the first time, then you take the fish is probably 5-6 minutes on a side, mm-hmm. and while it's grilling, are you brushing it?
Yeah, I would delicately. Again, you don't want excess oil, or it's going to flare up on you. But yes, you want to keep all food moist while it's grilling. You have to keep a certain amount of oil on it.
So maybe it's oil, a little bit of lemon juice, a little bit of salt that you kind of brush it with lightly, mm-hmm. on the non-grilling side, because when it turns, then it has a little bit of, you know, it also transmits the heat through that.
Mm-hmm. And sea salt or kosher salt are perfect. Either one are perfect for that.
And you're not flipping it back and forth. It's literally 5 to 6 minutes on
yes.
a side, and then one turn. And you're probably, for a 3-pound fish, you're talking about probably two large fish spatulas to turn that guy, or a giant
Definitely.
Pair of tongs.
Yeah, because as it cooks, it's going to become very delicate. So, yes.
And then when it comes off to bone it, you
yes.
rest it for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Just like it's the one thing that people often do with fish is they think, well, meat they may have figured out to rest, but they don't often do that with a piece of fish for a minute. And you really do have to do that
mm-hmm.
so that the juices flow back and to where they should. If you don't, then the bones don't go anywhere.
Right. Well, you want to be able to just lift that meat off of the bones. So that's, you want it to have steamed and sort of cooked itself to that point where you can just simply lift it off the bone structure of the fish.
Yeah. So you have your four nice fillets and mm-hmm. and a nice sauce with that, maybe some Reglio, traditional Sicilian sauce with that. So lots of capers, lemon. Some fish stock, if you have fish stock,
mm-hmm.
Fresh herbs, usually laurel bay is something that is steeped for, like if you have fresh bay, steeped in that sauce for a day or two when you keep it around, and extra virgin olive oil, lemon juice, sometimes tomato, definitely a little bit of spring garlic if you have it, but fresh garlic for sure is in there, and that's the kind of thing that's just ladled over ladled over a fish like that.
So Tony, with all this wonderful fish, what would you suggest wine-wise?
Whites from the Italian coast, a very easy thing to do, super Mediterranean thing to grill fish in this way. So look for Verdicchio is an easy one. Vermentino is another one. Those are two grapes, not super expensive, a lot of flavor. Both are almost saline fresh. They do great with fish like that. Also rosés from Provence, like Bandol.
This is Cindy Wolfe and Tony Foreman. Thanks for listening to us on Foreman and Wolfe on Food and Wine. We had a lot of fun talking about grilling, and we'll talk a little bit more later in the summer about grilling as we start to get in some of our wonderful local farm product and you all get your gardens going strong. Really excited to talk further about this subject.